I'm Amber.
And I'm Leslie, and you're listening to
The Grimmistics. Hi, friends.
Howdy, howdy. How's everybody doing?
Good, we hope.
Good, we hope. Amber, how are you?
I am not good, we hope.
Well, you're, as we just talked off pod, you're ascending into good.
Yeah, I am definitely like half in the thick of it, but seeing the light.
Into the thick of it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So for my friends and explorers that don't know, I was down and out for like, it's been 2 weeks.
I feel like it's been longer. Yeah,
I know. Well, because we all know about the sore throat and all of that stuff. Like, I feel like it's just hit back to back. And last week, which is so weird to think it was last week because it felt like forever ago. Last week, I had an ear infection. It was like a fortnight ago. Yeah, a fortnight. So a fortnight, I had an ear infection. And then because my, how it was explained to me is because my immune system was focused on my ear infection, a little bit shingles just like decided to pop up out of nowhere. So warning to my millennial friends and anyone before and a little bit after, if you went to a chicken's pox party, you have shingles in your system.
Or if you had chicken pox.
Correctamundo. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I did not go to a party, but I did have chicken pox.
Really? Everyone that I've talked to in our generation is like, oh, yeah, I remember when my cousin came over or whatever. Mine was daycare called my mom and was like, hey, like, we've got someone with chicken pox. Go ahead and bring Amber over, which we didn't know. We were doing lobotomies in the 40s. Right. Like, we don't know what we're doing.
Oh, no, no. It's no one's fault. I don't know why I didn't. I just got them generically.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, but also with your background, it makes sense.
I was like, is it crazy? No.
But yeah, so I had shingles, and you know, the most common spot for shingles is like on the hips or the side.
Yes.
I got shingles on my face.
I'm so sorry.
And for our friends who don't know what shingles is, a little education. It is a sore that travels. They kind of look like burns. And they travel up, they follow a nerve path and they attack your nerves. So because it started by my lip and on my chin, I have jaw pain. I feel like I have ground my teeth into a pulp because like it just feels like I've been grinding my teeth for 2 weeks. But I'm not. It's just the nerve pain. And then it moved its way up my cheek and it was around like my temple before I went over to the doctor, and they give you a lovely concoction of medication. I'm feeling it tonight. I learned that I'm taking a medication that Leslie gives her dog.
We call it
for pain.
We call it a Gabby.
I'm taking a Gabby. Yeah, and I've been very honest today. Anyone who's asked me how I'm doing, I say I'm on pain medication, so I'm fine.
You know what? I love that for you. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm not sure if I'm the person who should be talking because like I actively support these things. Like not like abusing drugs or anything like that. But like if you've got a reason, like smoke them if you got them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
for sure. Believe, they're prescribed to me.
Yeah. For a reason.
They told me to take them for three times a day.
For sure. Like for a reason. Like I fully believe in medicinal action. Care. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Action. I like that word. It makes me feel like a superhero.
So so I'm just so sorry. And I, what the fuck? As we said, I did not have shingles on the bingo card.
No.
For 2024 or really ever, to be fucking honest.
But what's crazy, there's an upspike in 30-year-olds having shingles right now.
Which is just so
crazy. And like a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. So like we're just, and the number one thing that brings shingles out is stress.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're all just stressed and shingles is happening. What's cool is it's pretty rare to get shingles a second time. And because I have it, I can advocate for myself to get the shingles vaccine sooner than 50, which is when it's recommended. I think a lot of doctors are going to be evaluating the age based on this uprise and 30-year-olds getting it.
Oh, yeah. I had to get my shingles vaccine. So mm-hmm. I have to get mine regularly. So we will just start going together and yeah. we'll get all the good ones.
Yeah. Flu, COVID, shingles.
Probably not at the same time. No, that sounds like torture. Yeah. Because I just can't imagine what that would be like for our poor little bodies unless we had mm-hmm. it. Want to have like a chicken pox party where we just like died in bed together.
Yeah.
But like watch Netflix.
But we're not contagious.
Right. No, we're just like actively like dying because we just got like vaccinated up because we believe in vaccines because vaccines are cool.
Yeah, they're cool. They save lives. Whether you feel like you're at risk or not, the people around you or the people that you just randomly pass by in public are all at risk for your germs. So take care of them, friends. That's what I've been dealing with. I was able to go to work Tuesday and Wednesday for the whole day.
Such a trooper. Then
I ran around like a crazy lady today. So I'm feeling like I'm back in the swing of things. It just feels like my brain is not fully connected to my body while I do it.
Hopefully that's just because of the drugs and not because of the pain.
Nope. Mostly the drugs. So
perfect.
But if there are moments of me being quiet, just know I'm saving my stamina tonight for you friends. So
that's okay.
And Leslie, you did a lot of research, but I do want to know before we jump in, how are you? No shingles?
I don't have shingles. Did have chicken pox. It's a full
moon tonight.
It is the full moon as we speak. It is the harvest moon. Harvest super moon at that, which for some, just a fun little history, our ancestors, both pagan and non alike, used it as, it's the hunter's moon. I think I called it the harvest moon.
Yep.
Sorry. Cause
I was just checking.
I gardened. It's the hunter's moon. And it was used as, by our ancestors as basically a sign that the winter was coming. So it was time to start harvesting your crops and collecting,
start hunting,
right. Mm-hmm. Collecting meat for the winter and preparing your homes for, you know, the dark. So, that's what today is all about. It's also, it's a full moon, so it's always about, like, releasing things. We're in Scorpio. I don't know. I am learning astrology. I don't know what the action for Scorpios are, but they are spicy. So I can only imagine that it's something to do with spice.
So I did learn, too, that, that because it's in Scorpio, any fire sign is going to be spicy.
Oh,
and we kind of talked about it off pod. Yeah. We talked about it off pod. I read something that said like Leo's. So who are the fires? Leo, Scorpio, and what's the other one? I can't think of it right
10,
now.
10-10.
Here I come walking down the street. I don't know.
What are you mumbling. Singing?
You can cut that. I don't know. It's something off of Friends.
Oh, I didn't ever watch that. Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius.
Thank you.
You are so welcome.
So something with the hunter's moon that I read is it's going to be very like whatever you're feeling for. And I mean, this is past. So when you guys hear this, it'll be past, but it'll be fun to look back and say like, was I feeling this way? So on the 17th
of October
October. Thank you. On the 17th and the 18th of October, like it's saying like, don't make any big life choices. So sorry if you did before this came out. And then it said like, you're going to be feeling everything on 10, whatever it is, it's on 10. So like the day I had today, I told Leslie it was on 10. Leslie also said like, oh, how funny. Mine was on 10 too.
Like, I also had an on 10 day.
It was just big feelings. Like,
yes.
Like I, at one point, and it might be too, like I'm rewatching Vampire Diaries because we talked about that in our last. So then like for me too, sometimes I embody what show I'm watching and like,
oh, for sure.
Damon's like mean and sassy. So when I'm like driving to my appointment today, I'm feeling him.
You're being, and I had to, Damon, like, Salvatore?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. And I had to check myself, because I was like, I feel like I'm on the verge of being like mean and disorderly. Yeah.
Too spicy. I am obsessed.
You were like the opposite today, right?
I was just feeling so like okay. I had a lot of really good things happen to me, and I wanted to say, if you did make big decisions, don't panic, because you could be like me and you could thrive in chaos. I mm-hmm. have yet to discover why that is, but truly I thrive when everything is going to shit. 2020, mm. I purchased my home. 2018, or 2017 when there was like a shift. Actually, my 2017 was really bad. Anyway, I just mm-hmm. usually thrive during chaos. So if you did make big decisions, it's okay. Because you just take it. Take it one day at a time.
Well, and I feel like the difference is your mood, great to make big decisions. My mood would have been horrible. I would have ended up in jail.
That's a really, really good point, because while we're feeling at 10, like my at 10, I was like excited. Like I wanted.
You were like a positive 10 and I was like a negative 10.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like I almost woke Robbie up because I just was so excited. I just wanted to tell someone I was so excited.
Yeah. And mine was very like quiet and isolated and like just me existing with me. But that's okay. Sometimes you need days where you're just you existing with you. And my therapist was great because we meditated at the end of my therapy session. So like there have been good little blips. I just like need a little space to see them. So, but I love that because you kind of talked about what you're going to talk about in the pod tonight, and like how you brought up Robbie and how you talked to him about what you found, right?
Yeah. I was like, okay, so I told him, I said, day 17 of my sabbatical.
It's like a survivor's journal.
I mean, that's kind of what it's turned into sometimes.
Wilson!
day 17 of the sabbatical, I gave myself a history lesson. And whether I wasn't paying attention or I didn't learn this, I just didn't know that. And I'm embarrassed that I didn't know some of these things. And it was just a huge like revelation. We're talking about Lake Lanier. That's what we're talking about. Spooky. It's spooky lake month, right? We've all seen that girl on TikTok. We're talking about Lake Lanier.
I'm gonna just jump in and say I have not heard, when you said you wanted to do that, I was like, cool, I've never heard of it.
Really?
Not in my life. I was like, I was just excited that you had something you wanted to talk about because my mouth hurt.
Perfect. That's okay. Okay. So Lake Lanier kind of went crazy on TikTok in like 2020.
Okay.
because it's a lake in Georgia.
Well, and if you'll remember, in 2020 on TikTok, I was learning about axolotls, so I was not learning about this lake.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We've collectively, as a group, have gotten Amber's TikTok to the witchy side of TikTok. That's right.
Exactly.
So there just was a big swoop of information about Lake Lanier, and it was this lake in Georgia that was man-made. That is cursed because it is on top of abandoned towns. And it's like a ghost town, literally.
Whoa.
And so that was in it. It's a race. There's a very big racial aspect to this story. and so that was very prominent, you know, in 2020 because of George Floyd. So, I did not anticipate doing 6 hours worth of research today.
You did, like, you did a whole school day's worth of research?
Yeah, I like on the days.
Oh my gosh, guys, sabbatical Leslie is just like ready to dive in. Your content with us is just gonna go. You're
so, well, I just okay. I truly did not expect to go down the rabbit hole that I did.
I'm so excited.
And I just I've mentioned this podcast before, and we need to like stop like plugging things until they pay us, but
this is the last one.
It's the Time Suck podcast by Dan Cummins. I am obsessed with it. I just love him so much. He has so many different interesting outlooks on so many different topics, and he's a comedian, but he also is just really real. I don't know. And the most recent episode was on a guy who, like, a normal citizen who like brainwashed like five people, like literally mind altered, brainwashed them. And he was talking about like how in politics these days and in culture these days, like brainwashed and things like that is thrown around so much. And he just was talking about how it's important to expand your knowledge and stand by what you say. Like, I'm not afraid to have debates because I am educated. I've educated myself on topics, and I have made decisions based on what I think, on what, you know, I'm not being persuaded by someone else. So my opinion can be changed. So I don't have anything to hide. Like, I don't mind debating politics because I'm educated and I stand by what I want to talk about.
Okay.
So, yeah, I
have. Wow, this is very prominent. Like, this is going to come out right before the election.
I know. And this was all unintentional.
Yeah, you just wanted to talk about something spooky because it's going to come out right before Halloween.
Yeah. And this is like a haunted lake. And, you know, there's like all this crazy stuff. It's like people say there's curse. There have been so many deaths at this place. And so it just is like, holy guacamole. I'm gonna tell you the story, and then I'm gonna give you my final thoughts, because it just, I don't know, today, like, this sounds so, it sounds weird, but like today kind of legitimately changed me as a person.
Okay, I do want to say that it makes sense, and I say this because, you know, so we get the Hunter's Moon as a warning for a season changing. And like, something that I think is prominent in something that I think of you around this time, like when we were growing up, you hated snow. Like, snow was not your vibe. Like, it was one of those, like, we live in Colorado, but every winter Leslie was like, this is stupid.
I fucking hate this place.
But you shocked me, and you got married in November and were hoping for snow for on your blizzard wedding day. So I think, like, I'm so excited that today changed you. I'm so excited to learn this story. But I mean, I've been seeing it coming, because for the past couple of years, like, you kind of thrive in this like transition near the end of the year. I feel like near the end of the year is always the time that like you've come up with the next big plan, and it happens.
That's good. I'm glad that it looks like it. I know. I've evolved. I love winter. I thrive like in when it's cold and stuff. Like, I definitely, but I also think I've just changed as a person, which is cool. Like, let's normalize changing and evolving because we have different experiences and we have different, you know, backgrounds, and we meet different people and we learn different things, and like, so, you know, so like normalize.
It's like the whole point of being alive is to learn to go with the ebbs and flows, and to, in my opinion, as long as the change is being a better version of the past version, that's the whole point. And like, my therapist and I were talking today, like, a big part of that change is there's your body and there's your mind, and you have to connect the two. She and I talked about, if you can connect your mind and your body to be more than just like the vessel that you live in and the thing that you think with, but like, if we could really tap into like what all our mind can do and how it can help our body and our mindset and all of that. Like, it really does change things.
As is above, as is below. What is available to those above and below, spiritually, physically, divinely, is available to us here if you are willing to listen and know how to tap into it.
And we're not special, like, not to be like mean. Like, we're just actively practicing and working on it, and we're actively opening ourselves to what the universe has to provide. Like, I kind of sound like a cult leader, but like we're not special. Like, anyone could do this. Like, this is what we should have been doing from the jump, but we've turned that off in like the society that we have right now.
Well, we're taught to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generational, it's societal, it's been by design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but it's definitely interesting. So I'm really interested to see, like, you said today felt like a change. I'm really interested to see what you learned today in your 6 hours of studying.
Okay, in my 6 hours of studying. So we're talking about Lake Lanier. I have a fuck ton of sources, obviously, but the main ones I watched a YouTube video by a couple of different YouTubers. One was Black Witch Yaya. She's amazing. Followed her. Her intro is spooky and wonderful. Followed her. Let's see here. What else we got? I also did one from a YouTuber. I thought it was going to show me her name. Her name is Brittany Vaughn. She does like kind of like what Bailey Sarian used to do, like makeup and urban legend, things like that. I watched a video from her. I watched Bailey Sarian has one. I watched one from Bailey. And then I also watched one. It was a guy. He was like a guy adventurer. is this him? Yep. Adventure, explore, discover. So I watched these because I did do some work because I do have to get paid, you know, for something real. So I watched those while I worked, and that took up like a good hour, 2 hours. And then I just did a bunch of research. But I don't necessarily cite those videos, but those videos were very helpful in today's research.
Okay, cool.
So time frame, we're looking at 1860. Well, we have to start at 1865. We have to start at the Emancipation Proclamation by our boy, none other, Abraham Lincoln.
And if you will remember,
episode 4.
We thought Abe was our Roman Empire, and the universe just gave us a big old yup.
He's not a huge character in this, but like it's a thing. I mean, he is the one who signed this, right? Which, for those who don't know, the Proclamation of Emancipation Proclamation. I can't ever say that word. I've read it so many times today. The 13th Amendment, all of these things, was, you know, outlawing slavery in America, and. So after this was signed, we were in what was known as the Reconstruction Era. And this was deemed between 1865 and 1877.
Crazy.
Because, you know, Abe signed the proclamation, everyone was freed, and then he was murdered. So it was Andrew Johnson's responsibility to basically free all the enslaved people.
And come up with a game plan of like...
how we're going to do this.
What does this mean? Yeah.
Exactly. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? What are we going to do with all these people? Like, you know, what's happening? So it's estimated that approximately 4 million people were freed under Andrew Johnson's administration. So the first thing he did was take any land that had been used by the Confederates, or had been deemed to be used by the Confederacy to be basically confiscated by the Union and distributed equally between formerly enslaved people.
Okay. That doesn't sound like
terrible.
A horrible plan when you're pretty much being thrown into it after a murder. So
right. It sounds reasonable, and it sounds like,
and like, you guys were the ones who fought us on it. So like, I'm not gonna take my land, but I'm gonna take these guys' land. Like,
right. You do the you do the crime, you do the time.
Exactly. And time is no land.
I'm just gonna give you a spoiler alert. This did not renew my faith in my country or my government.
Surprise.
Okay, I was gonna say, okay, if that's where you thought this was going, the route it's gonna go, it's not.
No.
Okay. Okay. That's good. But it sounds great. It sounds like a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to PBS, approximately 400,000 acres were confiscated.
Wow.
Which equaled $2 million worth of human property per Britannica, which, you know, I don't know if that's like today's money, their money, but that's what they equaled it to.
Okay.
Under the Union General, William T. Sherman, this was something that I didn't know until today. he basically wrote this, it's called Sherman's Field Order Number 15, which is a special order that was issued by the Union to confiscate the property and recall it Union property, which was along the coastline stretching from Charleston, South Carolina, to the St. John's River, all the way in Florida.
Hmm.
So it was easy to map because it was along the coastline.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was written by Sherman, our BFF Abe, his Abe Secretary of War, someone named Edwin Stanton, and 20 Black American leaders in the Savannah community, on January 12th, 1865.
Okay.
So they wrote it down, and they all said, what do you logically think your community needs to thrive after, you know, this enslavement?
Yeah, we can't just plop a bunch of like people and some like shacks. Like, we've got to make you guys feel like you can succeed.
Can survive. Right.
Yes.
Most of these people haven't been formally educated. They that doesn't mean they're unintelligent. They're just not educated. They don't have they can't get jobs. Like, where are they going to get jobs? These people in the South, like, just because slavery was outlawed didn't mean that people were but that didn't mean that people were no longer racist. Like,
yeah.
That didn't change the thoughts.
That didn't mean that they could get free people could get jobs or even sit down at a restaurant, which, I mean, if you look at history, that still wasn't happening much, much later in time with segregation. So
exactly. Just because they could do it within amongst each other. Right. That was really it. That was just the freedom that they got.
Yeah.
They signed it into effect, and it was, again, it was that 400 acres. Abe signed it 4 days later. Sherman went through with the order on January 16th. So it was kind of suggested that Sherman pushed this because as he was like going along the coastline and he was going through all these plantations, he was recovering slaves and their families. And he just had like this group of people that just started to kind of grow with him, and they're traveling all together, and he has soldiers and he has families, and he's like, I can't protect these people, I can't care for them, like, they need somewhere that they can go. So I thought that was just kind of interesting that he, I don't know, it's just refreshing when you hear I think it's important to remember the names that tried, and I want to say had good motives.
Intentions, yeah.
Yeah, when it just, I just feel like they failed. We failed. This country failed.
Well, and it's because it was like one person trying against people who were very content with living the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to incite change and people who are not interested. As we know, it's really hard to incite change in people who are not interested to educate themselves.
And at some point, they have so much hatred, and I don't, I don't understand it, because people like you and I, like, we literally can't muster that type of hatred towards someone.
No.
So that's why we don't understand it, but just and guttural hatred.
And that someone is usually a stranger.
Right. They don't know these people.
No.
And we unfortunately have victims that we'll speak about tonight. They were children. They were kids. Mm. They don't know. Mm-hmm. And they were innocent, most likely. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, so I'm sorry.
Foreshadowing.
So he also felt that this was a practical punishment because he was punishing the Confederate plantation owners, right? He was taking away their land. And also, this was happening, like, politically. There was what they were called the Radical Republicans. Literally is what they, like, some of my sources, history.com, Georgia.com, like, I spent 6 hours, guys. They were literally called the Radical Republicans. Part of this, their complaint about abolishing slavery was like, well, what are these people like? They are uneducated. They don't know what they're doing. They have nowhere to go. So they're going to cause mischief. They're going to do all these crimes because we're not going to give them what they need. You know, like they were like acknowledging the problem and being like, so what are we going to do about it? So Sherman was like, well, here, perfect. I'm going to take away this land and we'll give it to them. Like, win-win for everybody.
Yeah, you get your bad and they right. get to have a space.
Because you want to know what I looked up today that I never thought to look up before? If there was a punishment for slave owners.
No.
No, there wasn't.
They just, the punishment was that they didn't
have slaves.
Have slaves, yeah.
That was the punishment. Yeah. And for some of these people, and for the 400, the people on this, you know, these acreage, they lost their plantations temporarily.
Oh.
So, yeah, you know, it's just like, anyway. So, yeah, that I just thought that was interesting. By March 1st, which was about two-ish months later, Abraham had established the Bureau of Refugees, Freedom Men and Abandoned Lands, which AKA was known as the Freedmen's Bureau. This promised enslaved people 40 acres a person. And it was supposed to be broken down fairly between the $400,000 acres that was confiscated. But like, logically,
that's a lot.
That's not going to work. I'm not very good at math.
40 acres for one person. So then how does it work if you have, if you're lucky enough to be with your spouse? Do you get 80? Yeah.
That wasn't specified in what I saw.
Damn.
Well, and it's like, what about, okay, so you're stacked. You have these people that are just basically Chinatown stacked on top of each other. What about schools? What about grocery stores? What about religious, you know, places? So then
the people who have the land would have to open those things on their property.
Exactly. What about farmers? What about people, you know, these are tradespeople. These are people who are used to working in fields. And like, that's their skills. That's how they're expecting to make money. Like, how are they supposed to do that if it just doesn't make sense. So
it's kind of like he was like, all right, we need to just like do a big like sorry, and land is the way to do it. And let the thought process, because right now in where we are, maybe I'm thinking of it in like this era, but like it's hard to buy a house. It's hard to have land in Colorado. If you have like 2 acres, which is like teeny tiny, like it's $1 million. So like he could have been setting them up more for like generational wealth if they could figure it out.
I think that was the plan. Or maybe the hope was to set. And I love that you used that word. in that phrase, but I think the intention was to set generational roots down in communities to enable these families and generations to grow and flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lovely thought, and that's what, you know, I don't know. That's what it should have been. On a side tangent, some other things that I learned today. So the bureau that Abe created ended up covering over 11 former quote unquote rebel states and had assistant commissioners for each district. And at one point employed almost 900 agents.
Wow.
Which the agents acted as social workers who were essentially advocates and representatives for these southern communities.
So it sounds like he's kind of attempting to take the right steps.
Absolutely. They wanted to do the right thing. I really think that they wanted to do what they... The best of intentions with no... But they didn't... And you know what? Maybe if Abe hadn't been murdered, maybe it would have been different.
Would have worked, yeah.
Because this is all...
His blueprint, and someone else is trying to interpret it.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, like, I don't, you know, I'm not saying that Abraham Lincoln is perfect, because I've heard the rumors that, and even my research today, he was pressured. There are people in Congress and Senate, just like there are now, that lobby and are... constantly, you know, advocating for what they believe in. So, you know, was Abraham Lincoln maybe like 100% anti-slavery? I don't know, but he was
obviously the one willing to step up. Yeah, he was the one willing to step up and attempt to
stop.
Do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop this. Yeah.
And the bureau acted I just thought this was important. So they acted, especially when large terrorist organizations like the KKK, this was per the History Channel. That's when they were most helpful. They would like get involved to like protect these communities from being murdered. Sorry, were you going to say something?
The intentions that you like conversation, like, they are really setting it up. And I think that, like, I just keep pulling it back to present day, because we still have KKK threatening to do stuff. And then they claim they're not the KKK, but they're the KKK without the sheets. Like,
the Proud Boys are a chapter of the Ku Klux
Klan. KKK. Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Call a spade a spade. I'll call them terrorists. I've called them terrorists for years. The History Channel called them terrorists. I didn't do it here. The History Channel did it, you know? So don't, because I've had people come for me, like, including someone who isn't even on that site, but they were like, you can't use that term. That term is so important. They've got to do certain things. Like, no, they're terrorists. They're invoking terror. They are terrorists, period. Yeah.
I did hear a little fun nugget that I think most of our listeners will enjoy. It was, between Ted Cruz and, unfortunately, I don't know the name of the gentleman that's running against him, but he recalled what happened with the Proud Boys and everyone on, was it January 6th?
Yep.
And fun fact, Ted Cruz hid in a supply closet that day.
Yeah, he's a coward.
And it just made me really happy to know that this man who's running against him wanted to make sure everybody knew, and he made it very clear that he was prepared. He was helping block doors, and he called his wife, who was pregnant at the time, and he had a 2-year-old child, to say, I love you no matter what. And he really went to say, like, I took my suit jacket off and I was prepared, and I made sure that there were women standing behind me and not in the line of what would be. And like, I can appreciate that that man should be proud. Those Proud Boys and Ted Cruz should be ashamed of themselves.
Hear, hear.
Whee. All right, continue.
Still talking about the Bureau, the Freedmen's Bureau. During its years of operation, they fed millions of peoples, built hospitals, provided medical aid, negotiated wow. labor contracts for former slaves, and settled labor disputes. It also helped former slaves legalize marriages and locate lost relatives and assisted Black veterans.
This sounds like a really well thought out program.
Sounds like a really great program.
Yeah.
The Bureau also tried with quote unquote little success to promote and organize the land distribution, which was promised to these people. And it was noted on the History Channel that the majority of the land that was confiscated was eventually returned to the original owners, so that the opportunities for the Black American and for Black Americans to actually become landowners was dismal, because the white people, they still had them. It was never taken away, like legitimately.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And in 1872, Congress responded to the pressure from these white Southern communities to dismantle the Bureau because of a, quote, lack of funding coupled with politics of race and Reconstruction meant that the Bureau was not able to carry out all of its initiatives, and it failed to provide long-term protection for Blacks or ensure any real measures of racial equity. No, of racial equality. I'm sorry. I've read a lot of big words today.
It's okay.
You're and good. It's 10:45. So that's just really disappointing. Never heard about this Bureau. Never heard about this organization. Sounds mm-hmm. like it was a wonderful, really...
attempt.
Yeah. Really, probably benefited a lot of people at the time, and probably could benefit a lot of people now, mm-hmm. That was dismantled because white people got their feelings hurt. Because they're hateful.
I'm wondering if the like government in the South is the one they like found loopholes, and then they brought it to higher ups, and the higher ups couldn't like counteract the loopholes, and it was just like we forgot to check this box, and because that box on the paperwork wasn't checked, like here's a loophole for everybody.
A little bit, but I also think that the call was coming from inside the house. It's hard. Oh. It's hard for the Southern sheriffs and judges, and as we'll talk about, do these things that they're now being told to do when they don't believe it, when they're hateful and racist as well.
So they don't carry it out.
Right. Who's going to make them? There was no accountability.
And you know, what's crazy, and I'm not going to point out certain states, but it's still happening today. So clearly, like, this type of learning has been passed on for generations.
I wanted to save it, but like, this is
we can.
But this is generational trauma. This is what this means. We learned this word in 2020, and I learned in real time today. Like, this is what it means. This is what it. Like, this is literally, yeah, institutional mm-hmm. racism. These are terms that we've heard, and this mm-hmm. is literally, and this is the start of it. This is the creation of it. Oh God. And I don't remember learning any of it until today. Just circling back to the Reconstruction era, the end goal was to give the Southern states the ability to govern themselves. But they had to do two things. Oh, and I wanted in the Reconstruction era, we're kind of time jumping, I'm sorry, is Abraham Lincoln is passed, and Andrew Jackson, is that right? Mm-hmm. Andrew Johnson, sorry, is the president now.
Okay.
So in this Reconstruction era, the Southern states had to promise to do two things. Swear loyalty to the Union and pay off quote unquote war debt. I couldn't find out how much that was, who that was paid to, how they
did it.
Right. How they established what's war debt, but that was one of the things.
And I would assume taxes got raised.
Well, and so that's just it. He said, if you pay your taxes and I don't hear from you, which in the 1800s they didn't, because nobody had cell phones, nobody had computers. They're, you know, Paul Revere's riding on his pony, like that's all they've got. So that he was like, you know what, you pay your taxes and I don't give a fuck. Smell you later. That was it. Was and then it became the Wild Wild West. And because of this leniency, southern states began passing restrictive black codes. This is literally what they're called, which was the number one main priority was to control the labor and quote unquote behavior of these enslaved people. And these codes were restrictive laws designed to limit the freedom of black Americans and to quote unquote ensure their availability as cheap labor force after slavery was abolished.
You'd think he'd read that like as the president and be like, that's, I know, not great. Not every piece of paper doesn't go through the president, but like you'd keep a eye on it and you'd be like, huh, they're not doing anything that we were hoping to do.
I just feel like he probably was maybe racist too. I don't know. I just think this is, you know, when you come to terms of like my family is older. We've talked about it than yours. Like, realistically, the idea of my grandfather who was from Texas, probably being racist and probably being in the KKK, which was very big, actually in Fort Collins, Colorado, from where we're from when my grandpa lived there, is probably pretty high. It's a pretty terrible feeling. Like I'm laughing. I'm not, it's not funny. It's a pretty terrible feeling though.
It's uncomfortable.
But like I never met my grandfather, so like I didn't hear those stories. These people, they had slaves. So they are probably, I just can't imagine they're pro.
Well, yeah, and like that's exactly it too. Like, how do you expect to take this kind of concept down but then be like, okay, now coexist,
right? And I'm not saying it's like I'm not excusing the white people by any means,
no
at all. In fact I'm
not at all
so it's, sorry for being white. Yeah, really,
like I apologize for being white frequently,
often.
Yeah, but like no, it's just like this was a phenomenal program and good idea, and it was set out to really be successful if like the right people were in charge of it. But like you still have the aspect of, okay, now this person who used to beat you and force you to do things that you didn't want to and rape you, like now your neighbors,
now you have to, and not even your neighbors, like your employers who they pay you, but like some of these black codes were so restrictive, like some of like they were unreasonable requests that people couldn't fucking do. So they didn't do them. And so the punishment was, you know, you can get arrested and go to prison. And a lot of the times you would get arrested and the punishment was labor without fucking pay.
Yeah.
Which is slavery. Like they literally set them up for failure, and they did it. They said, no, we're doing this. So they are, you know, they can't get jobs. So they're not in the area. So they can't vote. So they can't do these things, like this institutional racism. That's what that's literally what this is. They did something intentionally so that black people in this community could not thrive and function and have opportunities to even exist.
Oh my. That's as a person who is white and not affected by slavery, as in knowing my ancestors were slaves,
right?
I'm enraged. I can't imagine how angry people are. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. And they have every right to be, and they have every right to feel this pain for their ancestors and know that their ancestors were looked at as less than. And just knowing that you're existing today when this was your lineage just shows how strong your ancestors were to make it possible for you to be here. I can't. Like, all I can say as a white girl is, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this is the culture that your ancestors experienced, and this is the culture that you still continue to experience today.
I feel your rage. I have rage yeah. for you, and I'm just
sympathetic.
Yes, absolutely. Some other example of black codes, which again, I didn't know were thing. I didn't even know these were real things. I'm laughing because I'm disgusted and like in awe that it's happened, and just I am just sorry. So one example from Mississippi was that Black Americans were required to have written evidence of their employment for the upcoming year each January.
Oh, that'd probably be really easy to get. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. So like January, they said you have to have this like documentation and you have to have your boss sign it, say that you're going to work this many hours at this, you know, like for an entire year. And if you, one, couldn't come up with that, you know, if you couldn't supply this contract or if you left before the end of your contract was up, you'd be subject to arrest. And the punishment was literally work without wages, which is literally slavery. So they were enslaving these people again, legally this time.
Okay.
That was in Mississippi. In South Carolina, Black Americans were prohibited from holding any occupation other than a farmer or a servant unless they paid annual taxes of $10 to $100 per occupation just because they're Black. And they wanted
back then. That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot for people who aren't getting paid, who it's written into laws to not get paid well or equally.
Well, and you know, you can only be a farmer or a servant, and that's where you're going to be taxed like the normal white farmers and servants.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then add on another like another $10 because of the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
They were set up to fight a losing game. I shouldn't say there's no way, because clearly some people were successful in maneuvering around these laws, but like they said, the white people in these communities set it up so that they could pretty much just throw them in jail or throw them back into legal slavery based on like some minuscule stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were setting them up to fail.
And that's why it's like I had this revelation, you know. It's just, it's disheartening, and I don't even know if I really have words for it. I'm just in disbelief that the country that I, you know, it's almost kind of like cult-like a little bit, because like they make us say the Pledge of Allegiance, like we've got the flag everywhere. It just was like bred in us to just believe it. And we were taught what they wanted us to believe. We were taught a narrative that they wanted us to believe, very similar to Thanksgiving and the indigenous people there. Like, and it's like, I don't even know if I can blame my teachers or my parents, because it's like they probably were taught that too. But it's just, it's just crazy. It's crazy to, you know, we heard all these things. We heard all these things in 2020. We heard these big words like institutional racism. Like I said, I'm going to keep saying that word, but really that's what this is. Like they made it so hard for them to succeed. And I'm sorry, I'm not being articulate, but I feel like being two white women, this is a really hard topic to speak on. And that's kind of why I did so much research today, because I wanted to be able to stand here confidently and and back up what I fucking think with fact and of a timeline and a history. And like, this is wrong, guys. Yeah. And if you honestly don't think that this is wrong, if I'm not like, if truly listen, forget the black and white, like just you hear this about people.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think just that unfairness is wrong? Mm-hmm. you really need to reevaluate yourself.
Well, and the, of course, nothing compares to what Black Americans have experienced at the hands of white Americans. But like, it's riddled throughout history. Like you said, indigenous people getting their land stolen because of white people. And then just even more people coming over into New York and escaping the countries that they were coming from, hoping for the American dream that was propagated everywhere other than America. And
oh no, they told us it was a, it's just a pipe dream. I mean, they definitely made it sound great to us, but it's not real.
Yeah, and I really do feel like they pushed it a lot in other countries as well. You think that you come here and you get this like crazy dream, and you know, and it didn't stop there though. You know, the neighborhoods, the boroughs of big cities where there were Chinese Americans trying to figure out and decipher where to go, and they got put into these small sub communities of a city. Italian Americans, Polish Americans, Irish Americans, like everybody was put into these tiny communities. And of course, I'm not comparing what Irish Americans and thing and everyone went through to slavery. That is completely different. The, you know, people coming over at that time were not forced into slavery. They were coming over mostly on their free will. Mm-hmm. But you're still segregating people and you're still treating them like they're less than, and like the only people that have any right to be irritated about foreign people coming to this country are the indigenous people. They're, the rest of us came, I know for me personally on the Italian side, my, one of my great uncles did a lot of research. We fled Mussolini.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were looking, our family was looking for salvation. We left
when we were refugees.
We left when Mussolini was in power. And, you know, my ancestors definitely had to put up with a lot. And we, our family conformed. Our, my mom, her maiden name is Marine. It used to be Marino. They dropped the O.
She tried it to Dan. Sorry.
I should ask. But they dropped the O to try to blend and not seem Italian. Mm-hmm. They stopped speaking Italian. They really, really tried to conform to what was being pushed as American. And like the whole point of our country is we're supposed to be a melting pot.
Right. Where we should be having all these different cultures and languages, because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be all these different cultures and languages and people and colors and ethnicities and sexual orientations. And it's like,
but I saw, to say, I saw something very powerful that said, we're not trying to force people to be these, you know, stereotypes. We're not trying to force people into a box. We want people to be who they are, because people being who they are means that they're alive. So many people who are being forced into boxes and being told that their way of life is incorrect, there are only two options. It is either to live the way that they know they need to live for them personally, or it is dying. And I am on the side of, if we can keep any people on this planet, and if they need to express themselves in a safe, not serial killer way, I support it.
Period.
Yep. So, but you were going to say something.
Oh, it just was negative. It just was about how that's what we were told. You know, they came here for all these freedoms, but in reality, our country was actually founded by extremists who were very hateful and very, you know, they loved a good war. They loved a good kill. So, yeah, that's much better. Thank you. so, yeah. That's really the history of, like, that's, that gives you Oscarville, which is one of the towns that Lake Lanier that was what Lake Lanier is now. You know, it was part of the Reconstruction era. It was a town that was primarily a Black community. That's just a little bit of background of how we got there.
I like that. And honestly, guys, we kind of set this up where last week you heard about Lake Lanier, and this week you're hearing about this because this is coming out around the election.
Right before.
Yeah.
We can do some math here.
It comes out on election day.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect. See, we didn't even mean to do that. So you know, we wanted to do the ooky spooky right before Halloween, and it just seemed right. Leslie did all of this research for the before. This comes out on election day. So this is what America should be based on. Speaking your truth, accepting that we're a melting pot, not allowing a dictator to decide what happens to the masses. We the people have the power. And I think you did phenomenal, Leslie. I know we're two white girls talking about a subject that we're attempting to grasp and be educated on. And I think that this is just a blip of the history of America. And I hope it's educated me enough that I'm interested to look more into it. I hope explorers, you follow Leslie's example. And the only way that we are not going to repeat what has happened in the past is if we are educated. And our education system, unfortunately, is not set up for that. So people have to go out of their way to educate themselves. And I think that as a generation, we can decide when that stops. Education doesn't have to just happen at home. If you have a loved one, any age, you can educate them with things that you've researched. And I really hope that this is a jumpstart for us to start shifting and start deciding that our past is not great, but we can acknowledge that and accept it, and we can learn. And as soon as we educate ourselves, we can learn to be better, and we can separate ourselves from that.
And just keep in mind how important, like Amber just said, the only way to stop history from repeating itself is education. If we don't educate ourselves on this, I don't remember this being taught in school. Maybe I just didn't care. Maybe I shouldn't take the right classes. Like, I don't remember learning any of this stuff. I know that slavery was done. And then because I'm privileged, that my white privilege allowed me to not even ask, well, how did they do that? What did they do with all those people? Like, and that's the definition of white privilege. Like, I didn't have to ask myself what happened afterwards. And unfortunately, it didn't happen until October 17th, 2024, that I finally asked myself, what did fucking happen?
Yeah.
Like, but how did they do that?
You say unfortunately, but you did it. Like, that's the important part. I don't think we need to shame ourselves.
That's a good point. You're right.
But you did. You did the work. You did the education. You learned from those Black American voices as well. Like, you didn't take another white person's opinion, because honestly, we can't have an opinion on this.
No. It,
like, we didn't, our ancestors didn't go through it. We don't experience what Black Americans experience today. I am empathetic, but I will never know. And that's what, like you said, the privilege that we have for being white.
And I think it's important, like, we can hear this, like, this ABC, like, this happened in this chronological order. And from that, like, I think we can make very clear opinions on these things. But just so much that we want to talk about. I mean, circling back to the education thing, like, just keep in mind, one of the parties here wants to literally disembowel. I'm going to use that word. That sounds, that's graphic.
That's a good word, yeah.
But they want to get rid of the Department of Education, because without education, we don't know. We're unaware. We don't understand. We're just told what they want us to know, which sounds like so conspiracy. It sounds so silly. Like, I understand I sound crazy, but like, we didn't know this. This is wrong. If we had known this, I feel like even as children, we would have been like, well, what the fuck? That's not fair. That's not right. But they didn't tell us because they knew it was wrong.
No, I agree. And
sorry.
No.
It was very today. No,
well, and it's very present. It's very present.
I know.
All of this information that you looked up, we're living in a time of unknown. Women are unaware of what rights they will have. And that's terrifying. It's terrifying. It's terrifying to think that we could have injuries that are preventable because of a clump of cells.
Deaths. And even, and not even for persons who can give birth. I don't know what we're talking, but it just seems like they want one group of people to thrive and
everyone else to struggle.
And generationally, I just think that, you know, that's what they were taught.
No, and it's worked. Unfortunately, where there is one crazy white guy, there is another crazy white guy cheering him on.
Of course, because they're on, like, we're fortunate enough. We're like, you know, I had breakfast with my mom like last week, and we, I don't know, it got on the subject, like, we are so lucky that the universe decided that we were going to be born in the night, you know, in 1990, like when we were, we were so lucky that we were born in America. We were, and we were so lucky that we were born white. Like, the only, the only thing that would have been even better is that if we were men. That's it. Like, we were just so fortunate that that's the deck of hand. Those were the cards that were given to us. And I don't know.
I think the first step is acknowledging our privilege, though. We are very aware of our privilege. We are aware that there are things that we will never experience in a day to day because of our white skin. And we need to, we're advocating and we're allies for the people who don't have that privilege. So this is a very important episode, Leslie. I think you've done a phenomenal job with your research, and
thank you so much.
I think it's very moving that this will be coming out on election day. So hopefully you guys can listen to us on the way to the polls. If you get an I voted sticker, please tag the Grid Mystics and we will share ours.
I love that. That's perfect.
Times are shifting, things are changing, we are educating ourselves, and I hope everybody can just band with us and decide that we are not going to relive the past.
We can't go back.
We can't go back. We can only go forward.
And, like, you know, they say they want to make America great again. Does this sound great?
No.
Maybe for white guys, for white people and women. White women benefited quite a bit from this, but no. My answer is no.
Completely. So we hope that everybody chooses to vote. We hope that everybody chooses to be on the right side of history. And we hope that you guys feel a little bit more educated like I do and like Leslie does.
Absolutely. And on that note, we will spook you next Tuesday.
Bye.